This is HPR episode 2424 entitled, Interface Zero RPG Play, and is part of the series, Tabletop Gaming. It is hosted by Klaatu, and is about 50 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Klaatu, Lomath, and Thadge play the Interface Zero RPG.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by AnHonestHost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hey everyone, this is Klaatu. I have with me today Thadge.
What's up, guys?
And Lobath.
Hello, everybody.
This is a new mini-series, should be about, I don't know, 3 episodes, possibly 4. It's a so-called actual play RPG. If you're curious about RPG and how it's played, but you've never tried, then this is going to give you a sample of it. There are a lot of great shows out there online that do this already, but they generally focus on fantasy stuff, so this one at least will be showcasing cyberpunk RPG. And before we get started, I think maybe we should introduce ourselves in terms of what our background with RPG is. I think that might be interesting. So choosing at random, actually I could even roll a die for this to see who goes first to keep it very RPG. Don't mention your character yet, just kind of give me some indication of how you got started with RPG, you know, maybe how long you've been playing, if that's not obvious in how you tell us how you got started. And the die roll says, Lobath, you are first.
All right. I've been playing role-playing games for probably about 20 years. I started when maybe only 15. Anyway, started when I was in college with a group that I'd play D&D 3.5 or 3rd edition. After that, started with a group that met for several years playing Pathfinder. And then a little bit of 5th ed D&D at the end there. And then since I've moved my current location, I have been playing 5th ed with on and off with one or two different groups of people.
Cool. So you're pretty well versed in this. Thadge, how about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been playing some form of RPGs probably since I was like 12 or 13. So it's been 20 some odd years, starting way back with like AD&D first edition all the way up through successive Dungeons and Dragons until about 3.5. And then I kind of fell out of that. Back in the day, playing things like West End Star Wars, the Palladium games, just basically any game we could get our hands on, Vampire, things like that. As I've gotten older more recently, I kind of missed out on Pathfinder, so this is my first experience with it. But my friends have tended to go more rules light stuff, so a lot of the stuff we've been playing recently is like Powered by the Apocalypse games, or like really stripped down Fate system, or just some indie stuff that we pick up every once in a while. But it's always been a thing that I'm into.
Cool, yeah, and that's something that I actually wanted to kind of touch on, which is the rules. I mean, RPGs do tend to have lots of rules because they're games, and games tend to have rules, but in the interest of keeping this miniseries as entertaining as we possibly can, we'll be playing fairly rules light, meaning that if something comes up and we're not sure on how to handle it, we'll probably just kind of mutually agree how to handle it and go and just pick up from there, rather than derailing the whole thing and looking up rules and rules books and stuff like that. But I think that's an important principle of getting started with RPG too. So if you do want to get started with RPG playing, and what you hear on this show interests you, and you finally go and try to play an RPG game, like, don't let the rules stop you. Just play as best as you understand the rules, making up what you don't know from there, and as you play more, you can learn more and you can be more exact. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. To that end, we have a giveaway. We have 3 RPG starter packs, which are all in PDF form, so they're downloadable content from Paizo.com, which is the publisher of the Pathfinder rulebook. So if anyone listening has meant to get into RPG games and has not yet done that, shoot me an email, klaatu@member.fsf.org or klaatu@hackerpublicradio.org. Either one works. And just kind of let me know that you'd be interested in getting your hands on one of those. I think I'll give one away each episode, at least up until 3, because that's how many I have. Email me and I'll send you the downloadable link where you can go and put your email in and log into Paizo and redeem the downloads. The downloads include the beginner box, which is a little bit like the old legendary red box of D&D first edition or second edition, whatever. I think it was first edition. It just has all the basics that you would ever need to get started. It holds your hand during character creation, gets you started down the whole path, and tells you how exactly to run things. It's really, really good. It's a great little set. And then in addition to the beginner box, it comes also the core rule book, which is at least 300, possibly 500 pages. And that's got all the things in it that you would ever want. So shoot me an email if you're interested in getting that. I'll just take the first one that I receive, and I'll do one each release of the miniseries. I think that's everything that I needed to say up front. So let's get started. Let's jump into the world first, and then we'll introduce the actual characters. So the year is 2090. 50 years ago, the USA and the UME, the Unified Middle East, after nearly 100 years of battle, entered nuclear war. It's not clear now who fired the first shot, but it plunged the Earth into what people now simply refer to as the Death. The Death wiped out large portions of the population, thrust the world into the darkness under chemical clouds, assaulted the land with acid rain, and drove people into the safety of the corporate-run cities. Corporations continued to grow until they themselves became city-states, and in 2090, the present year, you either worked for a corporation or you scraped together a desperate existence in the urban wasteland known simply as the sprawl. Our story takes place in New Angeles, which is located in the South Pacific Division of the FEMA-zoned United States. Today it's raining, and the acid rating is at 18%, nothing a hardened sprawler can't handle. Speaking of hardened sprawlers, Taj, tell us about your character. Who are you playing?
So I'm playing a character called Sid Alistair. Just goes by Sid. He's what the system refers to as a human 2.0, which means he's had some genetic manipulation done. And in his backstory, this was done by his parents before birth. So he kind of comes from a more well-off background than probably a lot of the characters in the world. They had a lot of kind of things put on him at birth, and he didn't seem to like that. So he, as a teenager, decided he wanted to kind of get away from that and move out on his own and kind of do things. And so he kind of embraced a path of what in the system is called cybermonk. These are people who sort of almost cybernetic manipulation and modification is almost a religion. And so he has gotten into this. He's spent his life studying martial arts and religion and sort of the cybernetic culture to kind of find what he thinks is an higher truth. And now that he's a little older, he's been doing that, you know, for probably about 20 years. He's got to a point where he's just disappointed in where he's at. When I was doing my character write down, I put peace through strength was one of his big things that pushed him through life, and he feels like he hasn't gotten where he wanted. And so he feels like he's hit that plateau, and he's questioning all this training that got him to this point. He's kind of lost his faith in a certain way, and he's just kind of wandering about just trying to find out what he wants in life.
Yeah, I love this idea of cybernetics as a religion, especially in this world where I think people would have to latch onto something. And yeah, all this new technology would be a great thing. Now, when you say he lost his faith, has he lost his faith, you think, in cybernetics itself, or just sort of in general, like where his life is going, or both?
Maybe a little bit of both, but definitely more of the latter. Just sort of, I don't think he would give up what he's done and the training he's done and the enhancements he has, but I think they got him somewhere, but that somewhere is not where he wanted to go.
Cool. Okay. Lobath, what about you? What character are you playing?
Yeah, I chose to play a character that I've named Chai Wei. She is a bioroid, which is a human that has a computer interface directly into their brain. They're vat-grown humans. They're more or less outlawed, or at least tightly regulated in society. So she is living a secret life. She's working for a government-owned corporation. She's found that she can make her way through the corporate systems by being an agent for them. She's sort of a spy trained in manipulating and determining whether people would be, you know, be able to be bribed. And so she's just making her way through the system as best she can.
Very nice. Okay, so let's assume that you both are working, or rather for extra cash on the side. You've taken to taking on extra jobs. And the way that this is done in Interface Zero's world, which I probably should have mentioned is the system that we're playing, Interface Zero, based on Pathfinder. You locate someone called a fixer, and your fixer is kind of your, pimp, for lack of a better term. Maybe agent would be better, but there are already agents in this world, so it's kind of, the terminology might get confused. So the fixer is the person who goes out into the world and finds people who need jobs done, and then passes that information on to you. Probably takes a cut off the top, we would imagine. And your fixer has told you that you have a client that you might try to meet at your usual junker cafe out in the sprawl. It's a good place to meet because it's pretty far from any of the law enforcement for anyone to really ask too many questions about. And it's not in a super dangerous area of the sprawl, but it's tucked away enough that it's a pretty safe bet for under the table dealings. The Junker Cafe, you know well, you've been there quite frequently, you're free to go there, either try to get there before the client or after the client. It's up to you guys, really.
How much do we trust this fixer? I mean, if we worked with them before?
Yeah, the fixer, you've gotten gigs from the fixer before. I didn't mention it in the intro, but we're starting with level four characters, so let's assume that you've worked with this fixer. So yeah, you don't think that this would be a setup?
It'll definitely be a prompt set of time, so we'll be there. So I'll be there.
Yeah, we'll work together on this one.
Okay. Yeah. So the time has been arranged. Let's say it's 2100, and you arrive at the cafe. It's a dump. It's cobbled together from sort of the remains of a building that had been long abandoned, which is basically most of the sprawl. I mean, that's just, you know, suburbs and city areas that people walked away from a long time ago and have now been reestablished. And it's mostly open air. I mean, to say that it has no windows, but it's got a bunch of awnings and things to keep out the acid rain. And it is raining right now, as I said, so not too bad in terms of acid content. You hurry inside, and back in the far right corner, you kind of zero in pretty quickly, especially Chai Wei, which I think you had read the room skill. So you zero in really quickly that there's this lady back there who, although she has clearly tried to dress down for the occasion, you know, she's clearly slumming it. She's really, really out of place.
Said we're at a bar or cafe. Order a beverage and go have a seat with her, I guess. Just sit down like I know her. Just say hi.
I think I will follow him, but sort of be a little more distant, maybe like stand behind him, not be so comfortable, but just be around in the area so I can be part of the conversation, but maybe not engaged.
Watching his back, possibly.
Yeah, just sort of head on a swivel kind of deal.
Yep. So the lady, when Chai Wei sits down, she seems simultaneously relieved that you showed up, but also very, very nervous. She's clearly never done this before, but she seems to suspect that you are the person that she's supposed to be meeting, and she says, are you Chai Wei?
I tell her, yeah. What's his name sent me over here to meet with you.
Yes, I didn't really get his name either. It's kind of strange. I'm Elizabeth Ravadun. I am a manager at Global Omnium Digital. Now, you both know that Global Omnium Digital is a huge corporation on the sort of the border of New Angeles. It's a major corporation, but no one's really 100% sure what it does. It's one of those sort of self-contained entities that doesn't, you don't really go to a store and get a Global Omnium Digital product, you know. It's just one of those things that whatever they are making must go into stuff at a lower level than general. It's not consumer goods, whatever it is. And she continues, I know that from the outside, Global Omnium Digital seems very stable, but I'm going to admit to you, and I'm assuming that this is all in the highest level of confidence, it's going through a lot of growing pains right now. And I need help to manage some of my board members. Specifically, there's a board member named Peter. And I have a suspicion that he's trying to turn the other board members against me. This is something that I need fixed. The problem is that Peter has, as far as I can tell, taken to hiding out in his apartment. He's doing everything remotely, which isn't unusual for Global Omnium Digital, but I can't seem to reach him at all. He doesn't take calls, I can't get to him physically. I need him extracted from his apartment. I've been told that this is something that you might be able to do for me.
I'll look back over at Thadge and say, I think we might be able to help you out. We're going to need a little bit more information, though, I think.
Of course, anything.
You said you haven't been able to get in contact with him or get to his apartment. What have you found that's blocking your way?
She sort of laughs a little bit, and she's just like, well, I wouldn't try to go to his apartment, of course. That's not my place. But I have sent people to his apartment, and, well, some of them haven't come back.
I'd ask, what kind of people are you sending? People with a similar skill set to ours, or people who may not be as in-depth as we are?
People very similar to yourselves.
I'm going to kind of give a look to Chawei at this point and kind of do my Spock eyebrows and see what she thinks of the situation.
It sounds like you've got quite a problem there, but I think the two of us might be able to help extract him from his apartment. I guess what would you like? Where would you like him extracted to?
She sort of thinks about this for a moment, almost as if though she hadn't really thought that far ahead. And she says, I don't want you to bring him directly to me, because I need to not be connected with this operation. So I'll need you to put him in some location and then let me know where that location is. If you need a location, I can provide one, like a safe house.
Trying to think of a place that I might be able to...
You guys would probably know of any number of abandoned buildings throughout the sprawl, so if you wanted to try to do that, you could. On the other hand, you don't really know where his apartment is in relation to the places that you know of, so yeah, it's kind of up to you.
Okay. I guess we'll get the address, and I guess I would like to ask her what sort of payment will be given for this extraction.
Yeah, so she tells you that Peter lives in the Zhejing district in building 2019-2019, and she says that the price that she was thinking was 5,000 crypto dollars each for the extraction.
I ask a question as far as, you said you'd sent others and you're contracting us. Are there others right now also trying to pull off this extraction? Do we have complications that we need to kind of keep in mind?
She hesitates, visibly hesitates, and says, not currently, no. There's no one else I have going after him right now.
Is there a possibility that other board members are also trying to do the same thing or prevent you from doing the same thing?
She nods, yeah. She says, yes, I don't know. Like I say, the internal structure of Global Omnium Digital right now is bordering on revolutionary, so I don't know what the other board members are up to, but I feel like most of them are differential to him, so I don't think that they would be trying to get to him. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I honestly don't. I don't have that information.
I'm going to try to see if we can get a little bit more cash. I think 5,000 seems a little low, especially since you've already tried to send other help. So I'm going to try to roll in diplomacy check, I think.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So I got a 16 plus my 11 bonus, so 27.
Good gosh, okay.
yeah. My character has an insane number of skills, so yeah.
I'm glad you have that skill, because I looked at my sheet and I have a zero, so I'm glad you picked that one up.
Yeah, so I'm going to say, how about 7,000? I think, you know, we can probably help you out, but if you've already tried some help, you know, we need a little bit more payment.
She doesn't even hesitate. She's like, yeah, 7,000's fine. I can do that.
All right. I think we've got a deal. Let's trade, probably part ways and then see if we can figure out where the apartment is.
Okay. She sees that you're kind of making movements to end the meeting. So she just kind of reaches forward and even just holds on to your hand a little bit, Chai Wei. And she says, I do want to stress that I cannot be connected to this in any way. I need you to not contact me unless it is to tell me that the job is finished.
Yeah, I think we can keep this between us.
Thank you. She stands up and she sort of makes her way out of the cafe awkwardly, trying to seem strong and confident, like really sort of jumping a little bit every time someone looks at her, you know, because she's like clearly out of her element. But yeah, she makes her way out eventually.
All right. Let's see. I do have some knowledge local. Maybe I could find out some more information about like the apartment that he's in or the complex that he's in, or maybe some more information about him himself, about Peter himself.
Yeah, I think doing that and maybe some surveillance of the area might be helpful before we go off trying to pull this thing together without knowing what's going on.
Yeah, give me a roll for your knowledge local.
I have 10 bonus and I rolled an 11, so 21.
Okay. So you know, I mean, you're especially, I think Chai Wei would know this, just because of your, well, and actually even maybe Sid, because you do come from a pretty good background. The Zhejiang district it's a busy, corporate heavy, like downtown area. It's filled with high rises, exclusive restaurants and clubs. I mean, it's a very upscale type of place. So the fact that Peter lives there is not super surprising. If he's a board member on a major corporation, it makes sense that he would live in Zhejiang. You're not familiar with the area enough to know, oh yeah, building 2019, that's the red brick building, or that's the one with all the glass. You know, you don't know that. But you know that the area certainly is quite high rent, so you're going to imagine that the security would be appropriately forceful to scale with, you know, the prices. So if Peter has holed himself up in his apartment and is protecting himself with things, then he's probably been able to afford a pretty good level of security.
All right. Then I think heading over there and probably doing some recon, like you said, would be a good idea.
Cool. Okay. So you guys jump on the monorail, because monorails are futuristic. Jump on the monorail and make your way over to the Zhejiang district. Neon lights all over the place. Big electronic billboards on the sides of buildings. It's downtown Tokyo practically. Super high rent. It's a really nice area and something, a place that you don't really usually frequent yourselves, because it's not. You're not quite at that level, surely. You're not CEOs or board members, so you don't really have an opportunity to be there often. But it's busy and it's crowded and it's full of life. You eventually track down the 2000s block of buildings, and it's kind of on the border of the Zhejiang district. And are you going to walk down, or do you guys have a vehicle? How are you getting to the actual building? And what's your approach?
I don't have a vehicle, so I think we'd know about Dodge, but we'd probably be walking.
Yeah, I would definitely think we would walk there. When we're talking about the sort of the setting, you said this is a pretty corporate place. Do we stand out at all, or is it busy enough to where we're able to move pretty well and keep ourselves concealed?
That's actually kind of why I was asking how you're getting there, because as you start down the 2000s block, which again, kind of on the border of the Zhejiang district, you notice that the crowds are sort of thinning out, and the street is kind of getting darker, and it you're getting the sense that this is kind of a neglected block. Like maybe this is sort of technically in the Zhejiang district, but maybe it's kind of the part of the district that doesn't get as much attention as the rest. So yeah, you're starting to get the feeling that as you walk, yeah, there's not really a cover of crowd at this point. So I don't know how you want to approach the building, like if you want to just walk by as if they're your pedestrians, or if you want to take something a little bit more casual, or how you want to do this.
Well, I guess let's stop. Is there a, you know, cafe or something up the block that we could go, that's a little more populated, that we could stop at first and then maybe go from there? I do have I am wearing a business suit and as my outfit, so I probably don't stick out too bad in this neighborhood, but I don't know. How about you, Thodge?
Yeah, what's Sid look like right now?
I envision him, obviously he's bald, probably not the best dressed. He's one of those kind of people who rambles around just job to job, but he gets paid pretty well, but he's not somebody who's overly, not going to spend a lot of money on clothing. So he probably isn't the best dressed. He may stick out just a little bit.
Yeah, I think in this area, Sid's probably the liability, visual liability. So yeah, if you guys want to stop, there's a cafe, the Cafe Loopy. It's just sort of a couple of buildings in once you start down the 2000s block. And it's got people there who are mostly just, they look like really highly paid wage slaves, you know, the sort of the accountants and people who clearly do important jobs, but aren't actually influential in any way. They're kind of sitting there, sort of all the customers are just kind of keeping to themselves and basically ignore you, not really interested in you. And from this vantage point, you can see down the street up to 2019. You can see the building that you're targeting.
All right.
And from the outside, it's just sort of a building. It's a brick building, and it seems to be mostly, yeah, you don't really see any activity around it.
Is it an apartment building, or is it what kind of building was it?
Yeah, it looks like it has probably always been an apartment building. It's got, you can tell that it has two big glass doors out in front, probably sliding glass doors, and it's quite well lit from the inside. You can kind of see at this time of night, you can see the light from the foyer sort of streaming out onto the street in front, on the sidewalk in front of it. So yeah, it looks like it's probably just an apartment building, and that's basically what's around it too, is other apartment-y looking buildings.
Right. Well, I guess I have a decent stealth, so I might be able to get up in there. How about you, Thodge? Any stealth skill?
Yeah, I've got a stealth of 8, so I feel confident there. I've also got pretty high athletics and acrobatics, so I feel like if we need to get in there in less obvious ways, that might be something we could be successful with.
Okay. Yeah, I have a stealth of 9, and my acrobatics is okay. It did take training in it, but it's not great.
Yeah, so give me stealth rolls, then. This isn't a super hard one, because I... Well, actually, yeah, it might be. Yeah, give me stealth rolls.
I got a 10 plus 9, so 19.
I got a 7 plus 8, so we're looking at 15.
Cool. Let me just look at the stealth table here, because it's based in Interface 0. It's based on crowd size, and there's not much of a crowd here, so let me look. Yeah, okay, actually, looks like that'll do it. So, you guys, I mean, it's a little bit easier for Chai Wei, because she kind of fits in anyway, but you guys kind of make your way stealthily towards 2019, so you're staying on the opposite side of the street, and then you kind of casually cross the street, just looking like you're out for an evening walk, not a big deal. And as you approach the building, you see, as you saw from a distance, yeah, there's big glass doors out in front. There is a key card swiper just adjacent to the glass doors. And if you walk by the glass doors, you notice that they certainly don't just slide open for you. It's pretty obvious that you're going to need some kind of access card to get even into the foyer. The foyer itself appears to be mostly automated. There's not like a doorman or a receptionist or anything like that. It's got some post boxes for incoming mail and packages. And it's got a lift, an elevator at the far end, which also has a key card entry. So it looks like there are several key card points, you know, check-in points. And there's nobody in there. There's no security, at least that you can see. And it's a pretty wide, empty space. So that's what you got.
Are the foyer doors the only entrance into that space?
Yeah, let's swing around the other side of the building, see if there's anything else.
Yeah, okay, so staying with the same stealth roll, you you kind of just duck into the alley and make your way towards the back. And indeed, in the back, there is a loading dock for all of the different probably cleaning supplies and probably moving people's things in so that, you know, there's a probably a service elevator and stuff. So there's loading dock, and let me see what kind of door is in front of it. Hold on. There's just a door. There's no key card access. It's actually the old fashioned, like, physical key entry for this back entry. It looks metal, so it's a pretty solid door, but it's not electronic. And yeah, that's just through the loading dock, which again seems mostly abandoned right now.
Can I do a perception check to see if there's any kind of like obvious security? If this door got open, that they would notice that happened.
You mean like in terms of cameras or something like that, or do you want to? What kind of perception are you looking at?
I'm specifically looking for like some kind of trigger that would kick on if we open the door. Some sort of mechanism there, not so much cameras. Something more physical.
See if the door is trapped.
Oh sure, yeah. So you want to examine it? Yeah. Yep. So yeah, give me a roll for I don't know whatever kind of perception you have available to you.
Got a 11 with a 7 modifier, so 18.
Cool. As far as you can tell, no, there is no additional security behind this door. It appears to be a big metal door with a lock on it, and that's the extent of it.
Is the lock like just like a regular handle lock, or is it like a padlock situation?
No, yeah, it's built into the door, so it's a handle lock, door lock.
I do have some hacking skills too, so we could probably try the front door. Otherwise, we could probably bust in this back door. Yeah, I don't know which way do you think we should go?
I doubt I'm going to be very helpful with the hacking, but I do have a cybernetic arm, and this is a metal door, so I'm pretty sure that we could pound on it and eventually get it open. But I'm worried that is the less subtle way of handling things. So we might try your way first, and then if that is a bust, we might come back to this plan.
All right. Yeah, I'm interested to see how the hacking system works in this game too. So let's give trying to open the front door a try.
Cool. Okay. So hacking. In order to get in, you need to get over its firewall.
Oh, so it is a protected system too, or a secured system too?
So there are different levels of secured systems, and so there's public, which is pretty low, and that's the kind of stuff that you just find on the streets, like billboards and things like that. So if you wanted to put pictures of cats on all the billboards, you could do that pretty easily. Then there are home networks, there are corporate networks, government and military networks. You feel like this would probably be corporate level, because they could afford it, you know, whereas if it was just a home network, yeah, it seems like that would be a lower rent area of town. So you're thinking it's probably a corporate network, just to give you an idea of what you'd be up against. But you expect that there would certainly be a firewall in place.
All right. Well, I will see if I can hack into it. So I'll roll my hacking check. I got a 14, plus I have a 12 skill bonus, so 26.
Ah, it's fantastic. Yes, you are on their network. You are past their firewall.
Sweet.
Yeah. So you are now in hyper reality, meaning that that you're on the Matrix, and you can see all the different devices in proper cyberpunk, you know, Matrix understanding, network understanding. They're little icons out in 3D space. From here, you can see on the ground floor, there are the two key card entries for the door and the lift. There is a key card entry over by the service elevator in the back of the building where you guys were before, or where you are now, maybe. And then there are cameras in the foyer as well. And right now it seems pretty latent. You don't really see any anti-hacking programs wandering around, but that sometimes gets triggered. You've successfully passed the firewall, so they don't know that you're here. So Yeah, there wouldn't be right now, in other words.
So the only cameras I see are in the foyer on the first floor?
The first floor, and then there are a couple of cameras. There's a camera, it seems, per floor above that. So it seems like there's probably a camera in each main hallway.
Is he sharing this information with me at the same time?
Yeah, she can mutter that, you know, as she floats around cyberspace.
So the back door might actually be a good way to go, because then we're not on camera. But we gotta find some way to force the door.
And it seems like once we force that initial door, am I correct in what I heard, that there's another key carded door after that to get into the foyer? Can we go around that, or do we have to get through that door as well?
I don't know. I can't see in there yet. I guess I could try to disable the security cameras. Yeah, let me think about that. So the key card door, does that go to the into the elevator, or is that into the lobby? I guess I missed that.
The so it's glass doors that goes into the lobby area, the front lobby, and then there's a key card access on the elevator that the main elevator that takes you up to the apartments. Is that what you're asking?
No, from the back door, you said there was a key card somewhere in the rear of the building as well. I guess I probably wouldn't know where that goes.
Huh? You would, because it would be identified as which key card access it was, and that's the service elevator.
Okay. So it's probably potentially lower security as well.
Yeah, I mean, avoiding the cameras seems like the less we disable and the less we're on camera, the better we're going to be, especially trying to do this kind of stealthily. So I think that would be a better route.
Yep, I think we bust through the back door and then go up the service elevator. I'm not very strong, though, so you want to try busting this thing down? I might be able to potentially pick it, but I don't know. It seems like I probably haven't seen a, you know, lock and key in a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty ancient tech. It's pretty surprising.
Do you want me to leave you jacked in up here and me run back there real quick, or do you want to come with?
I assume we were still in the back alley. It's wireless hacking, so we could do it from basically wherever.
Yeah, there's wireless range of 25 feet, so I feel like the network would be accessible from the back as well.
So yeah, I can stay hacked in, and then if you want to try busting down the door.
All right, time to put the cybernetic arm to use. Let's try to bash in the door.
Yeah, I think this is just going to be a raw strength check then.
Okay, roll the 4. I've got a 22 strength. Terrible. Okay, roll, cool. Still succeeds.
Let me check, because again, they have a whole table of door strengths. So let me look. Hold on. What did you say you got?
I rolled a 4. I've got a 22 strength.
So what's your strength bonus?
Oh, it's plus 6.
That'd be a 10.
Yeah, okay. So first hit does not do it. It puts a huge dent in the door. And you can see like the edge of the door sort of, you know, you're basically trying to implode it, you know. So you see that the door has been pushed in. You see that there's tension now on the latch that is keeping the door closed, but it wasn't enough to break the lock. But you're so far, no one seems to be running over, you know, like, so you could try again.
Let's do it. Roll again. This time I got a 7.
Is that adjusted or 7 plus your 4 bonus or mod?
No, that's just natural. So plus 6. Okay. So we're looking at 13.
Yeah. So once again, it hits. Give me another roll. Give me we'll call it a damage roll, because I'm trying to sort of do this progressively. I mean, I guess you could just take 20 as well, but give me another roll for damage.
Do you want me to do my unarmed damage? 3.
Okay. So yeah, it's the thing is just, it's a really heavy metal door. But you could certainly try again if you want. Again, it doesn't appear that anyone is rushing over to attack or anything like that. It seems to be mostly abandoned right now.
Go for it.
All right. Roll again. That's better. I got a 14 plus, plus 6.
So oh, nice. Okay. Yep. So third time's a charm. You smack the door, and finally it the metal itself just kind of concaves. It bends the whole structure inward. The thing pops off of its hinges and just flies open. The moment it flies open and there's an open space, an offline security robot sort of camped out in the corner opens fire. So, oops. It's going to get in a surprise attack, but let's go ahead and roll for initiative really quick just to sort of...
I have a 9.
Just to see who goes when. Okay.
And I got an 11. You have uncanny dodge, so I cannot be flat-footed, so I still get my full defense.
I actually think you might not, because you are still hacked in, correct?
Yeah, I guess I was still jacked in, so yeah. Maybe I would... Okay.
So I think, let me just double check that, but I think that means that you're basically flat-footed in the real world, no matter what. But let me just double check that real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, so the way I'm reading it is that if you are jacked in, you are flat-footed, because your attention is on hyper-reality rather than reality. So I think you don't get the uncanny dodge bonus for this.
All right, that seems reasonable.
The robot got 18 on his initiative roll, on its initiative roll, so he'll go twice in a row. So first he's going to do a burst fire, and the way that we've decided that we're doing damage, Interface Zero does the weapon damage really weird and has like presets, and I don't like that. So the way that I've decided that it's going to happen is for burst fire, we're going to do exploding dice and a +2 bonus on damage. So he gets to roll a d8, and so if he rolls an 8, then he'll roll again and add the damage to that. And so he's firing on the Cybermonk, on Sid, actually, because you're standing in the door. So that's a... oh, wait, he didn't even roll the hit yet. Sorry. 8, that probably does not hit you, correct? You're flat foot, Sid.
No, he would not hit.
Yeah, okay, so he misses. But he gets to go again because he rolled 18. 10 probably does... Oh, wait, does he have an attack bonus at all? Let me look. Okay, so actually 12. Okay, so 12. Does that hit? Probably not.
No, but just barely doesn't hit.
Okay. Then next up is Chai Wei, I think, yeah.
All right. Is there anything I can do in the hacking against this drone?
You don't see...
I didn't really see...
Yeah, you
I didn't
don't
really see,
him. See
anything.
Yeah, so he must be offline.
He's no wireless access point?
Nope.
Okay.
Which also, I mean, you would know, because you're a hacker, also probably means that he's not super intelligent. Like, it's probably literally just something that is reacting at a certain from a certain time to a certain time to the door having been open.
Okay. And he can't alert anyone then either, because yeah, at least it doesn't seem
not.
Like it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I guess I will drop the hyper reality and attempt to make an attack on him.
I think I could
or
be
does
wrong.
That take
I
a
think
round?
I think disconnecting takes a round. So I think that
okay.
might have been your action for that one.
All right, that's fine. I will then hang out by the side of the building and let Thodge take a whack at him.
Cool. Sid?
All right, I got a 2.
2 to hit?
Yep.
Yeah, that does not hit. Do you want to move at all? You can move as well.
Yeah, let's do a lateral that puts me on the opposite side of Chai Wei. So if she's on the left side, I would go to the right side of the door. To where...
So you're sort of flanking the doorway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so yep. So the robot will move towards the door. He's not a super fast robot, but he's not that far away either. So he gets about halfway between where he was off in a corner towards the door. So he's like about 10 feet from you now. But he's within the, you know, he can't reach you because you're on either side of the doorway. So he does nothing but move this round. Lobath.
All right. I will pull out my gun. I have one of the AGA Thunderfoots. I think it's a heavy pistol. So pull that out and stand in the doorway and take a shot at him, and then move back to the other side. I said.
Cool. Yeah, take a shot.
Got a 7, and my base attack is 4, so 11.
Does not hit. Almost,
right,
but does
I,
not hit.
I miss. Miss, and then end up just on the other side of the door from Sid.
All right, I take out, I've got the Manriki Gasari, and I attack, and I get a 14.
Nice, okay, that is a hit. Roll for damage.
What weapon is that?
It's a Manriki Gasari, it's like a chain weapon. And I got a 6.
Cool, okay.
Is it range? Is it ranged like a whip, or are you right up close with him?
It is 36 inches long, so I'd only be 3 foot, so that's still melee.
Yeah, so you've moved in 10 feet, or something like 10 feet. I mean, two squares essentially inward, correct?
Yeah, right up on top of him.
Okay, so you give him a good whack, and you know you see that his casing shakes to the core. You know, you've definitely made solid contact with this guy, but it is his turn, so he points his gun in your face and fires. Let's see what happens. Wow, he's rolling badly too. Plus his two attack bonus, so 4 doesn't hit. Lobath.
All right. All this gunfire is going to give us away, but whatever. I'm going to run into the room, try to get around him the other side from Sid, and shoot him with my gun. And I roll a 1.
Oh man.
I critically miss.
All right. Well, luckily we're not doing any critical fumbles or anything fancy like that. So, yeah.
All right. Sid is safe for today. Then.
Yeah. you miss, and Sid, you feel like through the pant leg or something, or you know whatever you're wearing, you feel a breeze just kind of fly by you. Not really sure if you've got a new hole in your garment or not, but it makes you a little bit nervous.
Thanks, Jawai. Thanks.
The robot just sort of laughs. You didn't know he had a laughing processor, but he does. So it's your go, Sid.
So I want to take the Mariki Kasari, and I want to wrap it around the robot in a way to where I can try to grapple with it and hold it in one spot so it loses its movement.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that, I guess, as a grapple, really.
Yeah, so it'll be the CMB... That'll use your CMB versus its CMD, I think, is how it works in Pathfinder, if I remember.
Yeah, that's correct. I just have to... I don't know what this guy's CMD is, but let me check that really quick. But go ahead and give me a roll, Sid, while I'm looking that up.
Roll to 13. Oh, wait a minute. Are we doing CMB? Is that what we just said?
Yeah, it's a combat maneuver. So, yeah, that's... And you're going against his combat maneuver defense.
Okay, so that would make my roll 19.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's pretty darn good. I do want to get his numbers, though, so let me check it really quick. Yeah, okay, so you've grappled him. You and I'm assuming you're using your cyber arm. What does your cyber arm give you in terms of a bonus in strength? Is there a number for that?
It doesn't have anything specific that okay. like that. It has a cyber weapon in it, which is 1d6 damage, but that would be all that it has to itself.
Yeah, that's fine. I was just kind of curious. So you grapple him. You're using your cyber arm to keep him sort of under control. I'm assuming you're just trying to basically keep his gun out of firing position. So he struggles, but yes, he fails. His robot strength is no match for your powerful cyber arm. And it is his roll, so he's going to now try to roll to extricate himself from your grapple. 15 is what he rolls. What is your CMD?
10.
He breaks free. That's right, Lobath? He just goes CMB against CMD to get out of the grapple, correct?
I don't remember the grappling rules that well, but that seems reasonable.
It seems reasonable, yeah. I've never really been grappled myself, so I'm not super familiar with them, but yeah.
But anyway, let's go we'll just that. Say he pulls away from you, and you know, but that's probably his full action. Then.
That is his full action, yeah, so that's all he's done. So it's your go, Chaiwei.
All right, he backs up, so then I'm going to take another shot at him. Oh, I got a good one this time. 17 plus
nice.
4, 8 damage.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, he is no more. He, you fire straight into his...
11 damage.
Nice. Yeah, he's done for. He comes apart at the seams. He just sort of collapses and falls to the ground at Sid's feet. At that same time, you hear the mechanisms of the service elevator kick into gear. The elevator from the panel on the side, you see it is being called up. And I think that's probably a good place to stop for this episode. Let's meet here back here next week, and we'll do the same thing again for another hour and see if we can find out who's on the elevator and what happens next. Thanks for playing, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thank you, dear listener, for listening. If you've never played an RPG before, this is more or less what it is. If you have comments, feel free to email me. And remember to send it in an email if you think that the Pathfinder starter kit sounds appealing to you. I would love to give one of those away each episode. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.